إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله، we praise Allah, we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah to whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs and newly invented matters is this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a string, and every string is in the hellfire. Continuing with our fiqh and the book Ad-Dur al-Bahiyya li Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah ma' al-Adillat al-Radiyya li Muhammad Subhi Hassan al-Hallaq hafadhullah. We come to the chapter Bab al-Thalith, Bab Shurut al-Salah, and the statement of Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah. وَيَجِبُ عَلَى الْمُصَلِّي تَطْهِيرُ ثَوْبِهِ وَبَدْنِهِ وَمَكَانِهِ مِنَ النَّجَاسَةِ وَسَتْرُ عَوْرَتِهِ وَلَا يَشْتَمِلُ الصَّمَّاءُ وَلَا يَثْدِلُ وَلَا يُسْدِلُ وَلَا يَكْتَفِ وَلَا يَكْفِتُ وَلَا يُصَلِّي فِي ثَوْبِ حَرِيرٍ وَلَا ثَوْبِ شُهْرَى وَلَا مَقْصُوبٍ وعليه استقبال عين الكعبة إن كان مشاهدا لها أو في حكم المشاهد، وغير المشاهد يستقبل الجهة بعد التحري. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, in this chapter number 3, the chapter The Conditions for the Salah, Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, and it is compulsory on the one making Salah to purify his clothing, his body, and his place that he's going to make salah in from an-najasa, and to cover his awrah, and not to do yashtamilu samma. And we'll explain inshallah ta'ala when we mention the hadith. And not to yastilu, we'll explain that too inshallah. And not to wear his lower garment below his ankles. And not to yakfitu. We'll explain that too, inshallah, with the hair and the clothing. And not to make salah in silk clothing for the men. And not to make salah in the thawba shuhra. We'll explain that, inshallah. Or stolen clothing. And it's upon him to face the Kaaba directly if he sees it, or if he's like the one who sees it. And for the one who doesn't see the Kaaba is to face the direction of the Kaaba after he does his best to find the direction. Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, and these statements show that some of the conditions of the Salah, or what is important to take into consideration before we make the Salah. And this is that it is compulsory to clean our clothing from Najasa before we begin the Salah. As Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Mudathir, verse number 4, وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَاهِرْ, and ask for your clothing, then purify it. And we also see this in the hadith of Imam Ahmad and Ibn Majah on Jabir Ibn Samara radiallahu anhu qala sa'ala rajulun nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yusalli fi thawb alladhi ya'ti fihi ahlahu qala na'am illa an yara fihi shay'an fayaghsiluhu. And this hadith is authentic, where Jabir Ibn Samara radiallahu anhu, he said that a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can a man make salat in the clothing that he had relations with his wife in? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, except that if he sees something on it, then he must wash it. And the Shaykh is using this hadith to show that the clothing must be cleaned before making the salat. I will remember also, as we had covered in the past, when it came to the ladies on their menstrual cycle, and that they must wash their, if they have any blood on it, they must wash it off before they make salat in it. As we saw from the hadith of Al-Bukhari and others, عن أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه قال, عن أسماء بنت أبي بكر أنها قالت سألت امرأة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت أرأيت إحدانا إذا أصاب ثوبها الدم من الحيض كيف تصنع؟ فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أصاب ثوب إحداكن الدم من الحيض فلتقرصه ثم لتنبحه بماء ثم لتصلي فيه. And this hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anha, she said that a lady asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, do you see that if one of us women, we have some of our menstrual blood to get on our clothing, what should we do? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if the blood of your menstrual cycle gets on the thawb of one of you women, then scrape it off, meaning if you saw it after it dried up, scrape it off, and then wash it, and then you can make salat in it. And this just shows cleaning the clothing before you establish the salat, as Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah is showing us. He then says, and to clean the body. And this is known from the wudu and the ghusl, or that which takes its place, the tayammum, as we covered. And also, as we have mentioned before, the men washing their penises, if they have some mezyu on it, and we said that's the pre-seminal fluid, the man gets excited, sometimes there's a real thin, clear fluid, and that if he has any of that, before he makes salat, he has to wash his private area, and then to make a wudu, and this just shows to clean your body before you establish the salat from any najasa that may be on it. And then Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he said, and to clean the place that you make the salat from the najasa. And we see this in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu from Al-Bukhari and others. قَامَ أَعْرَابِيٌ فَبَالَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ فَتَنَاوَلَهُ النَّاسِ فَقَالَ لَهُمُ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم دَعُوهُ وَأَهْرِقُوا على بوله سجلا من ماء أو ذنوبا من ماء فإنما بعثتم ميسرين ولم تبعثوا معسرين. Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, he said one of the desert Arabs peed in the masjid, and then the people went to take care of him, and the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, leave him alone, and pour a bucket of water where he urinated, because indeed you have been sent to make things easy and you haven't been sent to make things difficult. So we see from this hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows us that the area must be clean that you're going to make the salah in. And we know from some of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam that he prohibited us from making the salah in the bathrooms, and that he prohibited us from making salah in the camels, pens or dens like this. And this just are some of the hadith that show us that it's compulsory to have the area where you make salah to be clean. And this is for us to take this into consideration, these three points. Sometimes the brothers are slack up a little on these points. Some of the brothers who work, whether mechanics or whatever, and they get dirty, and then they just come to the salat like that. And it's not that you just come and make salat in any of your clothing, or to say you should be lucky I'm making salat, when really you should be lucky you're making salat. Because if you didn't make salat, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you for not making salat for the sake of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. At any rate, the brothers have to be careful if they work, and it's good to work and to earn a living for yourself and your family. But if you have certain clothes, the brothers should wear overalls or to put over top of their clothing a thobe or something, so that when they made their salat, that they're presentable with clean clothing, as this is a requirement for the salat. And sometimes we don't realize it. Some of the brothers might have paint all over their clothing or something, and it might be better to bring another garment with you to establish the salat in, and then to go back to your work. Also, the same thing with the place. Outside, sometimes the people just make salat, might make it anywhere. You have to make sure, and this is how the Muslims have been from the latter generations, from the companions after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then onward, the Muslims have been using a musalla, that's what they call it, a little rug to carry with them or whatever, because you don't know if you're going to have a clean place or not, and your rug will always be a clean place for you to establish the salat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this might be the importance, as some of the brothers have recommended, and this is nasiha for this deen, inshallah, that everybody keeps in his car a rug or whatever, because he might be traveling, he might not be able to make it to the masjid or whatever, and if he doesn't find a clean area, then he has his musalla to have a clean area to establish the salat, as this is one of the requirements for the salat. Then Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says to cover the awra. And we see this in the hadith of Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. And it's authentic on the authority of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال لا يقبل الله صلاة حائض إلا بخمار. Here Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Allah would not accept the salat of a lady in puberty unless she has on a khimar. Here we see from this hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing that the lady has to be covered properly, meaning her awra is to be covered properly when she is establishing the salah. Also we see from other hadith, like the hadith of Abu Huraira from al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا يُصَلِّ أَحَدَكُمْ فِي الثَّوْبِ الْوَاحِدِ لَيْسَ عَلَىٰ عَاتِقَيْهِ شَيْءٍ. Where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, don't let one of you make salat in one piece of clothing not having any upper garment on, or as it literally says, over his two shoulders, something. We see from this hadith that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, even for the men, even though the awra from the men is from the navel to the knees, that here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam is even showing that the people have to have more than that covering of their body for the salat. And this just shows, as the ulama explained, that the awra is even more important, as the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is showing us to cover even more. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the other hadith of Al-Bukhari, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, قال أشهد أني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من صلى في ثوب فليخالف بين طرفيه. The Messenger of Allah, Abu Huraira, he said, I bear witness that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, whoever makes salat in one piece of clothing, then make sure it covers his whole body. So here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining that ya'ura has to be covered. And this issue of one piece of clothing, like they used to wear the izar, which is just a lower garment, or we can look at it as somebody has pants, or just a shirt. And that if he had just a shirt, then that shirt is going to have to be long, like the qamis that might come down all the way below his knees, something like that. When he makes the salah, to make sure that his awra is covered when he makes the salah. And this is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is intending, inshallah, from these hadith. I just wanted to make this mention. It doesn't come that often in all of the hadith, but Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says, I bear witness that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say. And this is only to show that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without a doubt, in order to take the doubt out of the people's minds that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this. As some of the people, the Qur'aniyun, the people say they only follow the Qur'an, they say, no, we follow the Qur'an and the Sunnah, except the Prophet ﷺ is there, so how we know what he said? And this is only playing with the deen. We know what he said, as the his companions memorized his statement, and they bore witness that they heard the Messenger of Allah ﷺ say what he said, and they're not liars, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. So we see from these hadith, and even also the ayah from Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 31, and this is with a little tafsir, we see that covering the awra is compulsory in the salat, as Allah tabaraka ta'ala says, Ya bani Adama, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjidin wa kulu wa shrabu wa la tusrifu innahu la yuhibbul musrifin. As Allah tabaraka ta'ala says, O children of Adam, wear your fine clothing at every masjid, and eat and drink, and don't be excessive. Indeed, Allah does not like the extravagant. Hear this statement, O children of Adam, wear your good clothing. This means to, as Mujahid, the Tabi'i, the companion of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says, this means to cover your awrah even if you have a aba'a on. And this aba'a is some of the brothers saw me or Abdul Rahman wear it, the black thing with the gold around like that. It's kind of like, I think they call it a cloak or something like that. Maybe you saw some of the people from Saudi Arabia, the shuyukh there, they wear this robe over top of themselves like that to cover, even if you have to use that to make sure that your whole awrah is covered. And at every masjid, and what is meant at every masjid means at every salah. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just using the word masjid to show the place where you're going to make the salah, but he's referring to the salah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the ulama of Islam explained. So this is covering the awrah, and even we have mentioned before the hadith from Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, where the Prophet ﷺ says, احفظ عورتك إلا من زوجتك, to the end of that hadith, cover your awrah except in the presence of your wife. And on to the end of that hadith, and we're here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just shows us that we have to cover our awrah. Imam al-Shawkani, then he says, وَلَا يَشْتَمِلُ الصَّمَّاءُ. And this statement, it means not to place, you put on one piece of clothing. And I try to picture it in tar. But you put on a piece of clothing that has no sleeves and no holes to put your arms. So when I say no sleeves, we don't mean sleeveless where you can put your arms out like a tank top or something. But no sleeves, it's just like something to put over your body. All right, but it's going to cover your whole body. And it just leaves your head out. And then it's, huh? Something like a cape that's closed. Just your head is out, your whole body is covered, except it's not long. Maybe it comes down to your thighs. So, all right, you can't move your arms. And when you bend down, your aura is exposed. And the Prophet ﷺ is prohibiting this type of garment because it exposes a person's aura. And then the Prophet, and then Imam Ash-Shawkani, we see that from the hadith of Al-Bukhari, on the authority of Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, qala naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an ishtima'i as-samma' wa an yahtaba wa an yahtabiya ar-rajulu fi thawbin wahidin laysa ala farjihi minhu shay'. Where Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited the ishtimal as-samma, and this is to wear that garment that covers, restricts your arm, and is short, so that if you move, it exposes your awrah. And he also prevented a person from the ihtiba and one piece of clothing, and he doesn't have on his private parts any type of clothing. This is if a person is wearing like a kameez, and it only comes down to his thigh or something, and he doesn't have any underwear on, and then he sits like this with his on his butt, putting up his two legs, and his thing is short. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is prohibiting this because his awra is being exposed. And alhamdulillah, was guided us to Islam, because in Jahiliyyah it didn't make no difference. And the people go to the beaches and they have on a little speedo, like, forgot what you call them. Whatever, the men have on those little swimming trunks, and everything is exposed. And even with the trunks on, everything is exposed. Huh? So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and this hadith is encouraging us in general that in Islam, the men as well as the women are to keep their aura covered from the people. And this is in Salat more important, as it's also prohibited outside of the Salat, as we see. And then Imam Ash-Shawkani said, وَلَا يَصْدِلُ. And this is taken from the hadith of Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi, and it's authentic, where Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam نَهَا عَنِ السَّدْلِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited the sadal in the salah. And this sadal is just the garment that covers your body, and it restricts your arms, the movement of your arms in the salah. And I gave an example the other day where, you know, in the wintertime, maybe some of the young people, they take their arms out of the sleeves, and then they zip the coat up, and then they can't move. And like that, to restrict yourself, that this is prohibited in the salat, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is prohibiting the sadl, and the sadl is this. And the reason why I just kept the Arabic word is I don't know one English word equivalent to that, unless somebody knows. And then he said, wala yusbilu, and don't wear your lower garment below the ankle. And this is from the hadith of Al-Bukhari, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا ينظر الله يوم القيامة إلى من جر إزاره بطرا, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah would not look at the one who drags his throat, his lower garment below his ankles, out of arrogance on يوم القيامة. And there's narrations where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, like in Abu Dawood, prohibits this in the salah. Then Imam Ash-Shawkani says, وَلَا يَكْفِتُ, and this is not to gather the hair and the clothing in Salah. And this gathering of the hair and the clothing in the Salah, this is, people have straight hair, and it's kind of long, that you might, instead of having your hair hang in Salah, so that when you prostrate and touch the floor, you stuff it under your kufi, or you braid it up, or you put it in your turban or something like this, gathering your hair up. The Prophet ﷺ prohibited that in the salah. And the same thing with the clothing, and this is gathering your clothing up in the salah. Like if you had on one of those, like the brother, the big Sudanese store with the sleeves, and it's kind of wide like that, that when you prostrated, you kept everything from touching the floor. And these are all signs of arrogance, and the Messenger of Allah ﷺ have prohibited. And maybe it's a little difficult for us to see it now, as the floor that we prostrate on are rugs and clean, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. But before this, and really in many places of the world, until now, the floor of the masjid is the earth outside. Meaning they just build walls and put a roof over it, and that's the masjid. Pour some water on the dirt, try to flatten it out a little bit, and then you can imagine the people who have money, they come with their clean clothes, and they're trying to prostrate in a way that their clothes won't get on the ground, or their hair won't get on the ground for the people who have long straight hair like that. And the Messenger of Allah ﷺ have prohibited this, as this is a sign of arrogance. And a salat is where a person humbles himself to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And we see this prohibition in the hadith of Al-Bukhari Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَا يَكْفِيتُ الثِّيَابَ وَلَا شَعَرْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't gather the clothing and the hair. And some of the ulama, and I didn't mention, they say that the gathering of the clothes is also if you roll up your sleeves or if you roll up your pants there. And that this is also gathering the clothes in order to prevent it from touching the ground. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam prohibited this. And this question used to come up, and I used to feel a little uncomfortable as I see many of the brothers roll up their pants and maybe even sometimes their shirt. And this is the understanding of some of the ulama, and people should be as cautious as they can about their deen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Then Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he said, and not to make salat in a silk garment. And this is for the men. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Abu Musa al-Ashari in the hadith of At-Tirmidhi, and it's authentic, he says, حُرِّمَ لِبَاسُ الْحَرِيرِ وَالذَّهَبِ عَلَى ذُكُورِ أُمَّتِي وَأُحِلَّ لِإِنَاثِهِمْ. Where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made haram the wearing of silk and gold for the men of this ummah, and made it permissible for the women of this ummah. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ prohibited wearing silk, and the ulama, they say that they use these things that the Prophet ﷺ may prohibit it outside of salah to show that in salah it's even a little more prohibited, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But this is the understanding of the ulama when it comes to making the salah, as this is the first thing that Allah is going to ask us about on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and that the ulama are concerned, as the people should be concerned about their salat, to make sure that everything is taken care of. Because if you fall short in your lives, and we all fall short, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, but you want to make sure at least you have some salat in there that's accepted. Because all of us can fall short, but at least your salat can be accepted. And this is why we're amazed at the people who think that we're picking on them at Masjid al-Dirar, but that we were only warning the people that this is your worship. And if you don't take your deen seriously, and you want to chance your deed not being acceptable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then just do that which you've been prohibited from doing in the salat, to see if on Yawm al-Qiyamah will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reject those deeds. And nobody should chance his worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that, as life is too short, and we fall too short anyway to be chancing the little worship that we do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to even have that rejected. I ask Allah to accept from us all of our acts of worship. And then Imam Ash-Shawkani, he prohibits the wearing of the thawba shuhra, and this thawba shuhra is the clothing that stands out in the crowd, meaning because of its color or the style, and it stands out in the way that the person is wearing it in an arrogant fashion, that he wants to let everybody know ain't nobody as bad as I am. The way he is dressed, وَلَا حَوْلَ حَوْلَ قُوَةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. أو يزيد من حديث أبو داود بن ماجة وعبد الله بن عمر says, and he says that this is from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, من لبس ثوب شهرة ألبسه الله يوم القيامة ثوبا مثله. And then Abu Awana, he added, ثم تلهب فيه النار. Abdullah ibn Umar, in this hadith collected by Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah, and it's authentic, he says that whoever wears this clothing of shuhra, meaning to stand out in the crowd, to think that he's better than everybody with this clothing, that Allah would make him wear something like this on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this is to show his disgrace. As Abu Awana adds, then he will burn him in the blazing fire for wearing this clothes, this type of clothing that stands out. And inshallah ta'ala, this isn't understood as the Muslims who are in the land of the disbelievers trying to practice Islam, and that their clothing stands out from the clothing of the... This is different. As Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم, from the hadith of Abu Dawood and Imam Ahmad, is authentic. Whoever imitates the people is from amongst them. Near the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, if you imitate the kafir, then you just like the kafirs, you're from amongst them. So the Muslims have been called to associate and to look like and to identify with the Muslims. And this is wherever they are. And if it's only a few Muslims, of course they're going to stand out. But this isn't what is meant by this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the standing out, say, amongst the Muslims. You try to have some type of fancy clothing and color that's so different from everybody. And this is haram, and in the salat, even more so. I wanted to add that this narration of Abu Awana, this book of Abu Awana, he tried to bring, he came after Imam Muslim and tried to deal with hadith related around chapters with Sahih Muslim, something like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I haven't had the opportunity to buy this book, and I hope that this is just one of the books that I get a chance to purchase soon, inshallah ta'ala. And then Imam Ash-Shawkani says, and not to make salat in stolen clothing. And all of the ulama, they mention this in their books, and it seems to be a consensus amongst the ulama. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, لا تجتمع أمتي على ضلالة. The authentic hadith that my ummah will not all agree on something wrong or something that is astray. So once you see all of the Muslims agree on something, then that thing is from Islam. And then there's no question of what is the ayat or the hadith to establish that, because the Muslims won't all agree on something wrong. And here, from this statement, that alhamdulillah, if the majority of the Muslims are on something wrong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would always have that party that's on the truth that will be standing on what's correct. So this isn't what's meant from this, the majority of the Muslims. This what means the Muslims. Like all of the Muslims agree that the Quran is to be written down in one book. And during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it wasn't written down in one book. But that some of the companions had some of it here, and some of them have it over there at another place, and others had it at other places, but it wasn't compiled all together in one place, in one book, during the time of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and during the time of Abu Bakr and also Umar, they combined all of the pages of the Quran into one book. And it's been that way since then. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Though there's no commandment from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala or His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam to do this, all of the Muslims have agreed upon this, and the Muslims won't all agree on something that's astray. And this doesn't mean the majority, as in some of the cases now, you might have the majority of the Muslims voting for the kuffar in America. And then they try to use the hadith and say the ummah won't all agree on something that's astray. They won't. And this is why the people are opposed, who are on the truth, or opposed to this, as this has no place in Islam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Then Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, and then it's upon the one making salat to face the Kaaba directly if he sees it, or if he's with in accordance to the verdict of the one who sees it. Here Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he means, and the people have visited the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, you might be just in the place in the masjid where the pillar is in front of you. You don't see the Kaaba, but you're facing it directly. And this is what is meant when you're right in the vicinity of the Kaaba. You might not see it directly. Somebody's tall in front of you, a big pole. You might be just outside of the masjid, but you know the Kaaba is right there. And then you're facing it directly because it's right there. You either see it right in front of you, or it's like you almost see it right in front of you if that pole wasn't there, or what have you. And this is from the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 144, where Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Where Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, and we see you, referring to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see you looking up in the sky quite often. And here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was looking in the sky waiting for some revelation to come. And Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala said, so we're going to turn you to the Qibla that you're going to be pleased with. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is comforting His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the Jews kind of used to brag, as the Qibla used to be Baytul Maqdis or Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem for about 16 months. And the Jews, they just used to brag, you know we really had the truth, because if we didn't have the truth, they wouldn't be facing the direction of our holy land. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had wanted the Qibla of his father Ibrahim Khalilullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who built the Kaaba in Mecca. And then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed at the end of the ayah, so turn your face in the direction of Masjid al-Haram. And this is the ayah to show that the Qibla is the Kaaba in Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, as it is now, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Also, from the hadith of Bukhari, a Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا قُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَأَسْبِيرِ الْوُضُوءِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقْبِلِ الْكِبْلَةَ فَكَبِّرْ, to the end of that hadith. And this was the hadith that's quite long, where the man came in the masjid and he was bouncing up and down in the salat, and the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, make your salat again. And he tried again and again, and then he told the Prophet ﷺ, this is all I know how to do, show me. And the Prophet ﷺ taught him how to make salat in this hadith, and he told him, when you want to make salat, make a good wudu first, then face the Qibla, then say Allahu Akbar, and then to the end of the salat. So we see from this hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows that we have to face the Kaaba when we want to establish the salat. And then Imam Ash-Shawkani ends this section off by saying, for the one who doesn't see the Kaaba directly in front of him, or he's not in the verdict of seeing it directly in front of him, meaning he's a distance away from the city of Mecca, then he has to do his best to find the direction of the Kaaba and then make the salah in that direction. As we see from the hadith of At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, and it's authentic, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ قِبْلَ, where the Prophet ﷺ said, what is between the east and the west is the Qibla. And here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing the people, and remember, they're north in Medina, north of the Kaaba. And the Prophet ﷺ is saying, what is between the east and the west is the Qibla. And here the Prophet ﷺ is just saying, show it. Alright, the people didn't have, like, they have compasses and maps and all of that where you can be directly. All they know is it's that way. Like if somebody say, where is north? That way. Alright, you have a general direction, north, south, east, or something like that, and it's just for you to know where's the Kaaba. The Kaaba is east. Alright, you face the east. Whether it's exactly north, east, east, or whatever, the Kaaba is from where we are exactly, but you know that it's eastward, and whoever is facing eastward, inshallah ta'ala, is facing okay. In our case, where the Kaaba, because we're west of it, is between the north and the south. And this is how we're understanding the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Kaaba is in between two directions. Wherever you're facing, so when you're facing that direction, inshallah ta'ala, you're okay, even if it's not exactly on the spot. But Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he's saying to try to find the direction, meaning to try to be as close as you could to it, but when you're not there, if it's not an exact straight line to the Kaaba, that it doesn't mean that it's okay. And this is to show the brothers, for example, that if this direction, if we went right and kept going all the way there, maybe say we missed the Kaaba, we went on the side of it or something like that, you say the brothers don't have the right Qibla, because if you were to just draw a line or something to go straight, you would have went 20 feet west of the Kaaba or east of the Kaaba, you wouldn't actually hit it. But all of this detail, it doesn't really have a place in Islam. But this Islam, alhamdulillah, is the perfect and complete religion that can be practiced by all peoples and all places and all times. And this shows that without any technology, that the Muslims can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is to know where is Mecca, is that way. And then to face that way, inshallah ta'ala, this is sufficient for facing the Kaaba, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And it seems from this, even when the issue comes, is the Qibla northeast or southeast, and definitely what is most closest to the direction of the Kaaba is northeast. And even we found that some of the people said, even if it's most direct northeast, that southeast or whatever east is okay. And it seems like in light of this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and the statements of the ulama, that they are okay even if it isn't as close as other people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And this is the statement of Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah in a basic explanation. And some of the evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah to support the statement of Imam Ash-Shawkani, that it is compulsory for the one making salah to purify his clothing, his person, and the place that he's going to make the salah from najasa, and to cover his awrah, and not to wear a garment that's short and also restricting of his hands that would expose his awrah. A poncho? Yeah, jazakallahu khairan. Like a poncho type thing without the sleeves that would expose your awrah and also restrict your hands, and also not to wear a garment that would restrict your hands, and not to wear your garment below your ankles for the men, and the women must wear it below the ankle in order to cover their feet, and not to gather your hair and your clothing, meaning rolling up your sleeves or your pants leg, or gathering up your thobe or kameez or whatever when you're making the salah, or tucking your hair if it's long in your kufi or under your turban like that, and not to make salah in a silk clothing for the men, or in a thobe shuhra, and this is the thobe that stands out in the crowd, the type of clothing that stands out in the crowd out of arrogance, and not to make salah in stolen clothing, and to face the Qibla directly, the Kaaba directly when you see it, or if you're the verdict, or like the verdict of the one who sees it, meaning you see the Kaaba, but when it's time for you to establish salah, it just happens to be that you're right behind one of the pillars, and you can't see it, but still you're facing it directly, and to face the direction of the Kaaba as best you can, if you can't see the Kaaba directly. And this is what we wanted to present today. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. I don't know if there were any questions relating to these conditions of the salah, or if it's clear. We won't begin the next chapter because it's how to make the salah, and it's a little longer. Yes. Yeah, this issue, and we had mentioned before, the issue of covering the shoulder is not a literal thing where somebody can take a scarf and place it over his shoulders. Instead, the Prophet ﷺ said, don't make salah unless you have something over your shoulders. I got something over my shoulders, and his chest and his back and everything is out. What is meant by over the shoulders is an upper garment, meaning to cover your upper body when you make the salah. And the issue isn't the issue of the shoulders, the issue is of covering your upper body. Your upper body should be covered. And this is what is meant by having covering your shoulders, means to wear an upper garment to cover your upper body. And the issue isn't just the shoulder, like a person has on a tank top or something like this. The issue is wearing an upper garment to cover yourself. Yes. I was really personally leaning with the understanding of Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, that what is meant by gathering the clothing is like the first way that we explained the brothers with the clothing. And let me try to stand up and show you. You're making salah, you're arrogant, the floor is like dirt, you don't want, you know, to mess up your things. So when you go to make salah, put yourself up, make sure your sleeves is up, you don't want nothing to get dirty, and then you make the salat like that. This is what the Prophet ﷺ, inshallah, had meant from it. And others of the ulama, they say that also what is meant from it is rolling up the pants leg. And it seemed like this was the more proper meaning, but it's definitely safest to be away from gathering your clothing up like that, and also rolling up your pants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes.
You spoke of Ijma earlier, and Ijma has to be done by the consensus of the companions. Am I correct? When we say the Ijma?
Ijma of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's no doubt about it.
Okay, is that the only way that we can take legislation from the companions? Is it the Ijma?
Ijma, period, meaning if all of the ummah agrees that such and such is the way that it's done, and nobody differs, everybody accepts it, then this thing is an ijma. And like it is the issue that we were, like one of the issues we have began earliest on in the book, and we really tried to touch on it at that time, is that the water, if its color, taste, or smell is changed, all of the ummah has agreed that it's no longer tahir mutahir, meaning purifying in itself, pure in itself, and purifying, so long as the taste, color, and smell. And from generation after generation, all of the ulama have been upon this. And the issue of ijma, the issues that the ulama have not differed on, are a few issues. So it's not like it's a lot of issues. Even though if you read the fiqh books, there's a lot of issues. But in reality, the people who wrote the books of Ijma', like Al-Mundhiri and Al-Hafidh Ibn Hazm, rahimahullah, that their books are small to show that the Ummah has differed in many things. But the things that the Ummah all has agreed upon, those few things, that they are the truth, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that we won't all agree on something that's wrong or incorrect. And it's some of the position of the ulama that the ijma is that which the sahaba agreed upon. This is one of the definitions of what ijma is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Excuse me. If the brothers and sisters from Peekskill, New York had any questions or comments on today's lesson, and they can ask them now, inshallah. Inshallah, there was one last point I wanted to make that I forgot to make at the time of the class, and that is this hadith of Al-Bukhari, and he says, Bab إِذَا كَانَ ثَوْبُ ضَيِّقًا, chapter, if a person's clothing is tight. This is referring to the men. Jabir ibn Abdullah رضي الله عنه وهذا سعيد بن حارث قال سألنا جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه عن الصلاة في الثوب الواحد فقال خرجت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في بعض أسفاره فجئت ليلة لبعض أمري فوجدته يصلي وعلى ثوب وعلي ثوب واحد فاشتملت به وصليت إلى جانبه فلما انصرف قال ما الصراء يا جابر يا جابر فأخبرته بحاجتي فلما فرغت قال ما هذا الاشتمال الذي رأيت قلت كان ثوب يعني طاقة قال فإن كان واسعا فالتحف به وإن كان ضيقا فاتزر به This hadith, Sa'id ibn Harith, rahimullah, he said, we asked Jabir ibn Abdullah, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about salah and one garment. And he said that, I went with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one of his journeys, and I came one night for one of my issues, and I saw him making the salah, alayhi salatu wasalam, or and he saw me making the salah, and I had on one piece of one piece of clothing. So I made the salah in that one piece of clothing, and then when I finished, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa said, "What was the hurry, ya Jabir?" So I informed him that I had something to take care of, and that when I finished, that I wanted to finish it, or as he meant. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, what is this ishtimal that I see you doing? And then he said that my thobe was tight. And this is why I put something. He had a garment over top of him that was a big garment that restricted the movements from his hands. And it was kind of short. And he said that he put that on because his clothing underneath that was tight. And he put something big on because, like the poncho, because he wanted to cover his awrah. So the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, if it's wide, then cover yourself with it. If the clothing is wide, then you can wrap it around you to cover yourself with it. And if the clothing is tight, then put an izar over top of it, or something over top of your clothing, in order to cover your awrah properly. And this is if, like, a person has pants on, and they're kind of tight, that if he bends or prostrates, that maybe his awrah, the shape of his awrah, might be revealed, that he should put something over top of it, a thobe or izar or something like that, to cover himself. And that this is a concern, or used to be a concern amongst us as we wear pants, and that we have to be careful that when we bow and we prostrate in pants, that they're loose enough so as not to show the shape of our awrah in our position, because if they are, then we should wear another garment over top of those pants we make salah to cover our awrah properly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Our classes, inshallah, are going to be canceled for about 2 weeks, inshallah. And then we'll resume again at that time. I just want to personally take some time out, and I hope that the brothers and the sisters don't mind, inshallah, to do some more revision of the Quran and the Sunnah as the time comes, and it's a lot of classes. And sometime I need to just take some time off to go back and review, to keep up with things, inshallah, so that we can make sure that what we present is intact. So I hope that the brothers and sisters excuse us for a couple of weeks. And then we'll put out the flyers that the classes are starting back again, inshallah ta'ala. And everybody can take the chance to review, to make sure that some of the past issues, that they have them down, inshallah ta'ala. And Allah knows best. Alhamdulillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.